Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Welcome to Mind the Gap, Megan. I'm going to get straight into it. This way I can discover a lot more about you along the way. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation today. And just happy to meet you and be able to share. I am from Colorado in the U.S., born in Denver, Colorado. And as my last name indicates, Kelly, I'm a long line of Irish ancestry.
Oh,
so that is part of what brought me to Europe. I'm also an Irish citizen.
Okay, amazing. Colorado, my mind envisions countryside, lots of lakes,
the Rocky Mountains,
nature.
Skiing.
Yes.
The way I describe it is that the middle of the country is Kansas, and it's the state right next to it on the left. So it's the middle, but it's more the west.
Ah, amazing. And did you grow up in a religious or spiritual household in Colorado?
Yes, I did. I grew up very conservative Christian American. Uh-huh. Not so much because the family, I mean, my father was not religious. My mother was the one who took us to church. But I did grow up going to church and believing very much in God, and that was a big part of my life for a long time.
You're probably one of the first people that have said that.
Really?
And it's like, I ask this question to everyone because growing up in Australia, religion was like very much implemented on us from a very young age. And I think America was kind of similar as well. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in Europe it wasn't. So right. I find it really fascinating how people come to spirituality, like what road they take if they haven't had a religious or spiritual background. Now, your work is profound. So you're a systematic constellations and ritual somatic therapy. This is a mouthful for me, so you have to correct me. Trauma recovery, counseling astrologer. And let's break it down from the start. So what led you to this path and what was your career before you did this?
Yes. My degree is in marketing.
So oh.
I grew up doing marketing research. That was my first career in the U.S.
Interesting.
And although I liked the intellectual part and the mental stimulation and always learning about new industries, and I did focus groups.
Oh, okay.
Right? And it was a lot for social causes, not just products.
Okay.
But I knew young that I had a heart to work with people. And the marketing side was the most human side of business. But I was behind a desk analyzing data.
Yeah.
And little by little, I stepped out. So I was doing consulting and working more with people. In the end, I was doing strategic planning for nonprofits.
Okay.
And long story short, I always had an eye for the foreign land. Like, since a young girl, I was always drawn to travel in other languages and other cultures, and And Spanish has always been a passion of mine. So I ended up pursuing my master's in linguistics.
Oh, okay.
So our chat earlier about language, yeah. I could say a lot.
Because you can speak French and Spanish better than me.
Well, pitié, pitié. I speak Spanish much better.
I'm not Spanish, though, so that's...
But what happened is that I wasn't so fulfilled in the work, mm-hmm. all right? So I started pursuing the studies of linguistics, and I thought, I think I'm going to be a teacher, which is something I wanted to do very young. And I ended up going to Argentina on a vacation.
Wow.
We came back, and the same week we had layoffs at my company.
Okay.
I didn't get laid off, but the writing was on the wall and many things, right? So in some months to come, I started deciding, I'm going to go finish my master's in Argentina, and I'm going to finally do something that I want to do. Rather Brilliant. Than just kind of doing what you should do, doing yeah. what will get a job, doing what makes sense rationally. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, I followed my heart.
That's a big decision at that age.
It was years in the making. So
it wasn't an overnight decision.
It was not an overnight thing. And so I ended up going to Argentina, and I just loved life there. Really, I went from a smaller city to a metropolis. Really, of Buenos Aires. And in Buenos Aires, if you don't have a therapist, you're the strange one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I really was able to dive in and get into learning about me. And maybe like you, Tanya, when you move to another country,
uh-huh.
you learn more about your own country
yes.
than the country you're in.
Yeah.
So those were really profound and transformative years. And through personal crises being there too, it led me to the constellations, family
is
constellations,
really interesting.
And that was really the first tool and the first one that really made an impact.
So, what is it exactly? Like, what does it entail? What does it come from? Where does it originate from?
Right. So it's known as family constellations and later became known as systemic constellations because it's a view of you. You in the system that you come from, in the family system, all right? It comes from Germany, a psychotherapist named Bert Hellinger. He was a priest, and he ended up going to South Africa to be with the Zulu, and he was a missionary and managed a school with them for 16 years.
Wow.
But what I like to say is that instead of him converting them, they converted him.
Oh, interesting.
That's how I see it, because he left the priesthood after this and he trained as a psychotherapist. And it was really the view of ancestors and the influence of ancestors in our lives that he took from them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so constellations is really ancestral healing. And it's this viewpoint that any issue we have stems from something unresolved in the family system.
Wow.
Sometimes that is just with the parents, and other times... Well, I'm going to say, and it goes back and back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But we know, even science-wise, that we carry the genes. We carry that in our cells. So why wouldn't it make an impact in our life? So basically, family constellations is a tool for, some people call it therapy. For
uh-huh.
me, it's not therapy. It's therapeutic. But
oh,
it's
okay.
much more of a... it's a therapeutic tool, and it's really working on the level of the soul.
And how is it implemented? Like, how do you bring that into a therapy session? Because you also do trauma recovery, somatic therapy. Can you explain a little bit to me what somatic therapy is? Because I don't really understand
sure,
or know.
Sure. Well, let me just say this about the constellations. You can do constellations one-on-one or in groups, but it's
okay.
a very experiential thing. So I could explain it to you, but it's really the best way is to see it and participate. But they are healing circles, okay?
Okay.
It's a healing circle. Someone brings a question, and we work with other people to bring out the dynamic, and it shows the underlying dynamic behind something that we don't see in the day-to-day.
Okay.
And you wonder why, how. That's the part that's experiential where you have to
mm-hmm.
see it.
Yeah.
But it's using the body, okay? It's working when you pick people to represent different parts of the story. Maybe they represent father, or maybe they represent money or trust, or it doesn't have to be a person. These are strangers they're working with, so
yeah.
they don't know anything about the story. How could they pick up on information? if they are just very present, focused on the body and anything that comes to their intuition, they simply report that and they interact with the other people, and it shows underneath the dynamic. It shows that someone is not seen, or somebody is too involved, or somebody is not included. It shows many things, okay?
Do you think this is something, I was just thinking, like back in time and with our ancestors when we used to sit around a campfire and we had like the whole generations of families together,
yes,
that we used to just talk and vibrate in a different frequency to be able to help each other?
And you see, some people say Bert Hellinger started this work, which he is the one who, the name is under him, and but he was highly influenced by the Zulu.
Yeah.
And so this has indigenous roots.
Yeah.
It does. It has shamanic roots. And
yeah,
the more I've done this work now, I see it as healing in community.
It sounds
like
very Aboriginal as well, because the Aboriginal people do that.
It's the indigenous
in their dream
ways.
Time and when they sit around the fireplace and do their healing and
and healing
rituals.
Together, you see?
Yeah.
Healing in community.
Yeah.
And when someone has a problem, the community comes to support. And that's a lot of what you could look at a constellation like that. And that's how I look at it.
It's so interesting because it just hit me. Like in West, when we do our self-healing and our self-therapy, it's very much on the individual. And most of the time it's in isolation.
It's in isolation.
And that's really hard.
It's really hard. And so getting to the next subject. Trauma healing.
Yeah.
It comes in community.
Yeah.
We are healed in connection.
Yeah.
You see? And polyvagal theory, which is science, the science of safety, teaches us that we heal in community and that we need others.
Other people, yeah.
We need other
oh, God,
people.
I so much say that. People need people.
People need people. We are mammals at the end
yeah.
of the day. Mammals are herd
yeah.
creatures.
Yeah.
They're in groups.
Yeah.
And if they're isolated, they're more able to be a target from a predator,
yeah.
for example. I'm thinking of in the African safari or
yeah.
in the bush. If,
yeah.
if an impala is separated, they're going to be more, they can be a target more
yeah.
easily, right? Their herd protects them.
Yeah.
But not just protects them, it's a nervous system thing. When we're in community,
oh, yeah.
we can calm and we can feel more connected to ourselves and our environment.
Probably why we have so much anxiety today
oh, yeah.
in our society as well, with all of the separation. Oh, it just brings up so many,
yes, yes.
so
it's
many
like
thoughts
we
in my
could,
mind. Yeah,
talk just
so
about
many
that.
Modalities about this. So obviously, you said this has been. I mean, we know this has been around for a long time. It's not just kind of like a new age hippie thing. There's science behind it. What are the types of traumas that can be treated with somatic therapy, and what is trauma recovery?
Right, and so you asked, what is somatic therapy? In my case, one thing has just led to the next.
Yeah.
Okay? Like
yeah.
in the early constellations, I remember my first teacher said, you didn't react much in your body. And I
oh.
remember thinking, well, am I supposed to? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then through the course of looking and discovering, I realized how much that the body actually responds
mm-hmm.
in moments of crisis,
mm-hmm.
right? Through getting sick or anxiety or just not being able to breathe well, and what do all these things mean?
Yeah.
So I do two different body-based techniques. I am a body-oriented psychotherapist in a technique called bioenergetics.
I've heard of that.
And it was the first body-based psychotherapy, actually.
Yeah.
And I also do somatic experience, something newer. It's a trauma therapy. And so I call it somatic therapy to group them. Okay?
Okay,
but what that means is that the body is part of therapy.
Yeah.
The body is the key player in
yeah.
therapy, in fact. Of course, we talk and we hear, but what happens in the body as you talk? What happens to your breath? And we work with that because we know now
yeah.
in the last 20 years, so it's relatively new.
Yeah.
A lot of this is with Stephen Porges and polyvagal theory. And we know that trauma is in the body.
Yeah.
It stays in the body. And so it needs to be worked out in the body.
I think it really aligns well with yoga. Just thinking
Absolutely,
when I teach yoga, I was talking to a friend the other day and it's like I use a lot of cognitive therapy. And actually when I'm teaching yoga, it's more about what you're saying. It's like you literally see, the amount of years that I've been teaching yoga, I literally see and hear stories of people of how their trauma is being released and how it gets released. And you can sometimes see the person in action.
I'm sure you
during a yoga class.
I'm sure you see it.
I've the expression in their face, yeah,
where it brings up the tears.
Yeah,
and it allows an emotion to surface.
Well, there's a big breath, and you see someone like, wow, they're just they're breathing probably deeply for the first time than they have ever.
Right, right.
Yeah,
you see that the body is are unconscious.
Yeah,
and there's so much history in how we breathe, for example.
Yeah.
And that's talking more, that's talking on one level. But if we get to the nervous system, they're all intertwined, but mm-hmm. that's another thing. So somatic therapy, trauma recovery, because we can recover from our trauma. That's a whole subject in itself. But because there's different types of trauma.
Yeah.
There's different levels of it. No one is free of trauma. Of course, there are levels and degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why healing is different for each person.
Yeah.
And that's why the journey may take a different route or a different time frame from one person to the next. That's how one person can survive something. Like if you think of Viktor Frankl during the Holocaust.
Mm.
He had a whole different view of that compared to some others.
Yeah.
How could he get through that with a different perspective?
Yeah.
It all has to do with our nervous system and how well we're able to cope with stress.
Yeah. Super, super interesting. So you organize these opening circle rings, and in my mind I was thinking we should call them campfire rings. We should do them around the campfire because I don't know, there's something really therapeutic, right? When you're sitting around a fire with a bunch of people that strangers that maybe you don't even know, there's something that really just touches you. I think innately we are nature and we know that, but we just forget that.
Absolutely. And that's what the circles, the constellation circles, that's what they are about.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So what do you do? What happens?
Some people can get a little bit like freaked out. It's like, oh my God, I don't want to go and sit, in a circle with a bunch of people.
And this is part of what we were saying before about the isolation.
Yeah.
Because for some people, it's not comfortable or safe even to be in a group.
Yeah.
Right? Our first group is our family.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
Yeah.
So it can be an obstacle to come to a circle, and I understand that. That's why one-on-one sessions are possible.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if a person is nervous about this or not able to take in what they see, then this is when therapy is more suitable for the person. I don't recommend constellations right away to everyone.
Yeah.
It works on a different level.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about trauma recovery, I have this image in mind that in the center, it's our survival strategies and it's our core character structures. And I may be using a lot of jargon, but it's the day-to-day coping.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's trouble with that, then therapy, somatic therapy is the better route to start.
Yeah.
All right, when that gets a little more manageable, we're able to hold contradictory emotions inside, we're able to deal with stress in new ways, and we're able to go dive deeper into our healing. What is the origin? What happened in my story? That's when a constellation is a good time. It depends on the person, okay? But there's a lot of this happening now. There's a lot of people giving trainings and people studying everything. And I just caution people, like, go slow. Know who you're working with. Know what their background is, because
this is true.
There's a difference between having a weekend training and a 2-year training.
Yeah,
there's many differences here. So constellations is not for everyone. Somatic therapy is. It may not be needed for everyone. It may be needed for some. Many people come to me and say, "I've done a lot of talk therapy and I feel I've plateaued."
Yeah, I've heard
that
too.
And that's when working with the body is a good idea.
Yeah.
Working with the mind, it's very important.
Yeah.
I'm the first person to say that I benefited from that and I continue to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But we can't leave the body out.
Yeah. It's part of.
It's part of it, right? A big part of it. And so the body is the main tool in the constellation. That's how these strangers can help connect to a field of knowledge. It's called the knowing field, we call it. That's how they can connect with that, by being present.
Yeah.
And bring forth the story and we bring forth a new and greater freedom for people.
Okay? It must be very profound sitting in the chair as a teacher and seeing people like relinquish like things that have just like weighed them down and torn them apart, and negative habits and thinking and ideals and layers of things put on them that were not put on, you know, from a young child. It must go really, really deep, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Constellation work is a very deep experience.
Mm.
And we start as strangers, but we're quite bonded in the end. But for people looking for that kind of experience, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel emotional thinking about it, but...
Yeah, I think it's a very unique life path to take as an individual in helping people in that way. I think it's very special. And the Yoga Journal, well, I'm sorry, not the Yoga Journal. I think about the Yoga Journal, but the Renowned Journal of Astrological Association interviewed you about how you combine astrology with therapy and systematic constellations in your work. Could you explain a little bit more about this approach? And we've talked kind of a little bit about how it's applied to individuals.
Right. I've always enjoyed astrology. It's kind of, you could say my mother influenced me just by bringing in patterns and seeing patterns is it. So I was introduced to everything quite young and kind of in and out of it. But it was also in that time in Argentina where I learned there's schools for astrology. And again, in Argentina, it's very... pretty commonplace, and my therapist there was an astrologer, and so she taught me a lot about myself through the symbolism.
Interesting.
And it spoke to me in a way that nothing else did, that made sense to me, and it made sense to the mind and to the intellectual side, which is important for people. You know, in today's world, and I'm a somatic therapist, I see the benefit of the body, but it's body-mind connection.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, it was in that time as well where I realized, wow, this tells me so much about myself, helps me understand the decisions I've made and that kind of thing. And so it's been personal interest, really, that I kept pursuing it. But it was the moon sign in particular that I think is so valuable for people.
Okay.
Because it's about our needs. It's about our inner world. And it's about our mechanisms that kick in when we don't feel safe.
Okay.
So I started really viewing that kind of collecting data with clients I'd work with and seeing patterns. And when I would speak in a certain language, it helped them understand themselves.
What kind of patterns were you seeing?
Well, certain defense mechanisms.
Okay.
You know,
so the moon is feminine energy, right? And the sun is masculine, or have I mixed it up?
Well, you could say that. You could say that. I mean, in traditional astrology, the moon is the mother, the sun is the father.
Okay.
This is changing in our modern world, you know? But I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. But the moon it's our inner world. It's related to our inner child.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to our body.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we nurture ourselves and how we were nurtured.
Okay.
And attachment theory and everything I've studied in the psychotherapy training is the same. It's the link with our attachment figures that teaches us how we treat ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another language.
Yeah.
It's another language. And so I started seeing patterns with this and using the language a bit to explain and to help others kind of understand their needs and why they were reacting the way they were. And then it just kind of expanded from there, learning that astrology is so much more than the sun. Many people don't know about the moon sign.
No,
I find it
really
the most valuable.
Yeah,
of
we
all.
Don't really learn about the moon. It's kind of like the dark and the shadow side.
Yeah.
Right? It's been like pushed aside and like witches and like all this kind of weird stuff would happen around the moon. But
well, and I'm talking about the planet inside of us, you see, not the moon. So, but that's a good, I'm glad you say that actually to differentiate. I'm talking about we all have the planet, all the planets, right? We have our chart, and what are the planets? The planets are different parts of us. They're different parts of our psyche, and this is the astrology that I use, psychological astrology. So there's so many types of astrology.
Do you do like a? I mean, because I'm really ignorant about this, so I'm asking you like basic
ask
questions.
Away, ask away.
But do you do like a birth chart?
Yeah,
is that
absolutely.
What happens? Okay, so then yes. You see that where the moon placements are predominantly are in
yes.
the star signs in relation then to the body. Can you bring it down to the organs then, if you can bring it into like a personality type?
Well, I don't know much about that, but
okay.
There's a big field of medical astrology.
Yeah.
So anyone that works with that definitely could answer that question.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes. So there are, first of all, it was through personal experience
yeah.
that this psychological approach is what was most useful for me.
And how did that help you then? Like if you
because
could
it
share
spoke
a
to me,
okay.
It spoke to me in a language. It spoke to me in a language that made sense.
Okay.
What
you were thinking,
I'll use a personal example. I'm a Virgo moon.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about that, right? But
yeah.
when I learned, it helped me understand why previous boyfriends were Virgos and why all my best friends were Virgos. And it helped me understand just in that language that I felt safe with those people.
Okay.
I felt emotionally understood.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah, yeah. I see the connection.
And so for me, that clicked something that showed me the value of the moon sign.
Mm-hmm.
Virgo moon can be very critical when it's not feeling good. Yes, that can happen to me. And that's when I don't feel good. So learning that that's like a mechanism helps me understand myself better.
Yeah.
And then you learn the moon is very much our experience with our attachment figures, how we were mothered, and how we learned to mother ourselves.
Right, okay.
So it just started kind of falling into place,
mm-hmm.
some of the language,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like a Pisces
Makes
moon.
Sense.
Pisces doesn't have boundaries. It's so open and compassionate that it can sacrifice itself. And it can fuse with other people. And you see this a lot
mm-hmm.
with the therapy clients.
Yeah.
That this is what they're struggling with.
Yeah.
And so bringing this to their awareness can actually help them explain their experience. All right? So this has been a gradual thing, little by little. And honestly, I wasn't sure I should bring this in as a therapist because astrology is such a subject, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was getting into, honestly, when you start learning.
Yeah.
You could spend your whole life learning and never arrive.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the most complex subjects out there. And so just the horoscope of the sun is so limiting. It's so limiting and it gives a bad
view. I think astrology
view.
Today is kind of so limiting Western society, isn't it, as a whole?
Well, I think it's because it's such a vast subject.
Yeah.
Because there are so many different types of astrology, because there are some
yeah,
that focus
the Vedic,
on
Western.
And there's some that really focus on prediction.
Yeah.
And that's the craft.
Yeah.
It's a craft. It's an art.
Yeah.
And so it depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And I like to really state that I work with psychological astrology. I'm interested in you learning about yourself.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
the core of everything I do. I really kind of cringe when someone asks me, can you tell me what's in it for the year? I can tell you about the energy.
Yeah.
I can give you an idea, but I'm not going to predict anything.
Yeah.
I think that is a disservice to you. And I think any astrologer that does that kind of stuff is giving a potentially dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
It's all, as a therapist, it's all about building up our inner voice.
Yeah.
And so for me, astrology, the way I use it and the way I help with clients is let it speak to you, maybe
mm-hmm.
in a language that makes sense to
mm-hmm.
your experience, but let it confirm what you choose.
Right.
Instead
okay.
of you letting it tell you what to do,
mm-hmm.
you decide, and then you let the symbols confirm. And if they confirm, it gives you more confidence and helps you go forward with more power.
Plus it strengthens your inner intuition as well.
Strengthens your inner intuition. And so it's human nature to want something on the outside to give
mm-hmm.
us the answer. I've been there myself.
Of course.
It's
we live
human
in a society.
Nature, right? Whether it's a constellation, whether it's your therapist, whether it's astrology, whether it's tarot,
Or your yoga teacher.
Or your yoga teacher. It's human nature to want something on the outside to tell us.
Yeah.
And that's risky, right? But inner and outer, it's astrology is a reflection of us.
Mm.
And so I do spend a lot of time educating and speaking about this. And I'm aware that it's not the right thing for many people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have had bad experiences as well,
yeah,
with astrologers or with astrology. A lot of that is putting their trust in something outside of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you recommend today for someone's healing journey in what you have talked about so far? Like if someone wants to know more, wants to begin this healing journey, would you, I guess it depends, you know, also if they're in deep trauma or what layer of healing within themselves that they even have, I guess, self-acknowledgement of. What do you do for your clients? Like if someone called you and had like a problem, how would you like guide them into knowing, I guess, because you're very experienced in what you do now, like what kind of therapy to begin with first? How does that happen for you? Someone connects with you.
This is such an important question because people come to me from different viewpoints, right? Maybe they heard of constellations. It's becoming more known. There's a Netflix series called Another Self that's all about constellations.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
So it's starting to really get more and more exposure. So some people come because they've heard of it or a friend had a good experience. But I may notice after talking with them that, okay, it's good that you're here, but I honestly suggest therapy right now instead.
Okay.
And that is because they may be dealing with more day-to-day issues of feeling, knowing how to manage anxiety,
mm-hmm,
or having enough confidence to make choices. You see, if that's happening, then it's more about building up the self, learning how to manage and calm the nervous system.
Yeah, yeah.
And when a person is more, call it stabilized or more able to cope with the ups and downs of life, then it's a better moment for a constellation.
Okay.
Because they can take in what they get. Because,
mm-hmm,
for example, you know, in my case, I had been going to weekly psychoanalysis in Buenos Aires. My first constellation got me to the same place after 9 months.
Wow.
And I thought, how is this possible? It works on a different level, you see. It works on a different level. It's working with the soul. It's, call it quantum field,
mm-hmm,
you see? And not everyone's prepared for that.
Yeah.
And I've had people come who left a little shaken, like, I'm not sure that this is for me now.
Yeah. Opening up the Pandora's box.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And then I've had other people say, well, that was okay. I'm not sure it's for me. And then 4 or 5 years later, they call me up. I actually now get it,
yeah,
and I'm ready.
Yeah,
everyone's different,
yeah,
you know, and I have a very protective side. So I want to make sure, like, I'll tell people honestly, I don't think it's right time for a constellation.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And also astrology, you know, it's not for everyone. I'm not here to sell what I do or to convince you. I'm here to just help you learn about yourself.
Can you share a little bit of, I guess, you know, we're not going to name any names, but I'm sure in your field, in your career, in the time that you've been doing this, you would have seen people move through or come through a lot of different obstacles.
Oh,
can,
yeah,
you share a little bit of, like, just to give an idea of, like, what people
go through?
Yeah, what people go through. Like, I can only imagine, but you have firsthand account,
well,
and maybe someone's really scared, like, I think sometimes people think what I have is too much.
Yeah, many
like
people
I don't want to share
that,
it, or I don't know what avenue to take, or I feel ashamed or bad, or I have a lot of guilt and stuff like that,
yeah,
about something that either happened to them or they did. And I guess you have seen people move through a lot of heavy burdens.
I have, and I have myself.
Yeah.
So I think anyone working in a helping profession needs to have their own personal experience.
Yeah.
So I know therapy may sound not interesting or expensive, but I think it's really a must.
Oh, it's worthwhile.
I think it's a must for anyone who works in the helping profession.
Yeah. Bottom anyone line. Who works with people.
Anyone who works with people. And so here in Brussels, for example, in terms of therapy, I get a lot of people who are on burnout or they're on the verge.
Yeah, so do I as a yoga teacher. Yeah. I feel like the last few years, every second person is on deep, 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 heavy burnout.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I was saying to you before, I don't think like, I think Belgian people are very, very intelligent people and they live a lot in their intellect. And I feel like connecting to the heart center is not something natural for them. So I see a lot of people that hold a lot of things in and it's beautiful to see them unwind in a yoga practice. But I can imagine when they get to verbalize what they're feeling or thinking, it's a different layer that gets peeled because there's like, I guess, self-awareness and different other things. And I don't know, it must be...
Well, basically, when something speaks to our heart, we know that that's right for us.
Yeah.
And when something makes sense, like the example I gave with the Virgo moon, that made sense to me.
Yeah.
That reached me in a deep level, the level of symbolism.
Yeah.
Okay? And when that happens for a person, then it sparks something inside.
Mm.
So bottom line is to believe that we can heal, to believe we can change, because when we're in deep... when we're in deep distress or in a burnout or depressed, it's hard to believe those things at that point.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
It is. So it's really kind of like looking for the life jacket. What's the
life raft, the life
looking
jacket.
Looking for
the
help there, you know? And looking for some inspiration. Like, well, this did a lot for my friend, so what can it do for me too?
Mm.
And then also being open that, okay, not everyone's journey is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the same fingerprint that I have.
Yeah.
So why would my journey be the same as anyone else's, you know? And
I guess everyone's trauma is unique.
Everyone's trauma is unique.
And how their body, I guess, digests that trauma. And
exactly. Yeah. How could the body handle that?
Yeah.
What is the imprint that's been left? And how is that impacting my life today?
So I guess then a lot of clients that you're dealing with now are coming from a burnt out.
So, yeah, I didn't finish there. A lot of people are on burnout leave or they're recovering. And then there's others who are noticing they're changing in their preferences or they're starting to question the lives that they're living. Maybe people have physical symptoms. A lot of physical pain or some of these chronic illnesses, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. We now know that so much of this is connected to dysregulation in the nervous system.
Okay.
Right? And so with somatic experience, for example, and just the advent of trauma healing, which some people call a trend and popular, sure, call it that because it works.
Mm-hmm.
And we have information now, the science of safety, polyvagal theory. We can learn to become our own medicine.
Mm.
We can learn where are we at in the nervous system in each moment. I'm having a panic attack. Maybe I need some help to manage that. But when it starts to get under control, I can tell when I'm activated in the fight flight response.
Yes.
How can I help myself out of that? Okay. And I'm just such a proponent that anything natural. Maybe we do need some medication to support us, but work with the body to help you too. The medication can help stabilize, but it's not going to change the symptoms underneath that. Do you follow me?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking, where do you see this being in the future? Like, I don't know. I feel like corporate companies now are bringing in wellness. And I was just talking to someone before and it's like now being a wellness coach in a corporate field is like a job. And
there's
yoga teachers and, you know, saying before as well that, you know, now our wellness is not a luxury, it's a necessity.
I love that. I think essentially these stigmas of mental health are slipping away.
Yeah.
this is just mental health is a part of health.
Yes, of
just
course.
Like physical yeah. health, you know? And
it's no longer a dirty word.
It's no longer a dirty word. And I'm so for humanity. Mm. Like, you know, I was listening to something the other day that not long ago, if someone were to mention something they were feeling, they could lose their jobs over this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a reason all these stigmas. There was a reason all this, these secrets and keep it private, right? But honestly, COVID took the lid off.
I think so. And it showed the reality. In a big way.
And it showed the reality, you see? And the way I view what happened in COVID is that we all have our foundations. Mm-hmm. We all have our foundations, which comes back to our attachment patterns. Mm-hmm. And what was that early years of – what were the early years of life like when we're – when our nervous system is – we're learning from our environment and our experiences. So depending on that, is the structure shaky mm-hmm. or stable, mm-hmm. right? And then you have a massive pandemic come mm-hmm. and it squeezed us all. Mm-hmm. And how were we able – how many resources, how much space did we have – to sustain that squeeze. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
And so for some, it brought up to the surface what they were keeping under the carpet.
Yes, it really did.
Okay, so it really brought up to the surface. I think it did for most people.
Yeah.
The question then was, how did I face that? What were my resources? Where did I turn to? I have some clients now, 3 years after, they're dealing with what happened to them then.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people are.
A lot of people are. You know, in constellation work, we talk about the greater forces. The greater forces are the things in our history that our ancestors and us have gone through that have changed us. Wars, genocide, pandemics. Mm. It's on the list. Mm. Pandemic.
Yeah.
Financial collapse, political unrest, things like this. This is what shocks generations and trickles down. This is the transgenerational mm-hmm. trauma of constellation work. A pandemic is in that category.
Yeah.
Okay, so we really lived something equivalent of a war.
Yeah.
And the world hasn't a felt trauma. So stable since.
Yeah.
It was a global trauma.
Yeah.
So as a global trauma, it woke up our individual traumas. Yeah. Let's call it that.
And I think it was because it was so constant with news and media.
Yeah.
I think like in war, I don't know, in World War I and World War II, I think the news, you know, traveled through people or letters or whatever.
We are
whatever,
just overly stimulated.
But we were just like bombarded like viciously single day and fear-mongered and scared. So I think a lot of people, I think everyone had like trauma from that.
Everyone did. Everyone did. Yeah. And depending on how shaky or stable that foundation mm. is and was, how could we deal with mm. that? You see?
Yeah.
Some people thrived.
Yeah.
And they were able to overcome yeah. and they're thriving.
Yeah.
There were people of all kinds. Everyone's got a story.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? When you sit back and like the big picture of like what people did and the people that thrived and the people that just like their lives literally just fell apart.
Yeah, and they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
They're rebuilding. And so you asked about the future. I think talking about the nervous system language is going to be a regular part of our life.
I think we haven't really talked about the central nervous system enough. And I really hope not only what you're doing, but also in yoga, that we really take into different modalities and accountabilities and awareness of working with the central nervous system. Forget about bliss and everything else. Like people are so far from that, like doing headstands and things. I think people just need to re-regulate their central nervous system.
Need to re-regulate. There is no greater power than being in the present.
Yeah.
And being in the fully present. Embodied yeah. and being in the reality, as challenging as it is. But I tell clients all the time, we suffer more from idealizations than we do from reality.
True.
And part of that idealization is the bliss that we can experience. I've been there. It's great. But, you know, they're like every high, there is
yeah,
a down.
It's not sustainable.
And so if you have a spiritual experience, how do you apply that in your day-to-day life?
Yeah.
And this is when, this is, you had on your list of questions about the new age.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the risk I see of new age, the bypass component, that we can be in bliss and love and light. But what about the reality of life?
Yes, that's what I always.
How do I bring that love and light into my life
yeah.
and into the workplace when it's toxic?
Yeah.
How do I deal with that?
Yeah.
How do I stay regulated in my nervous system so I can co-regulate with my family and actually keep my family going and keep having relationships?
Yeah. Really important work.
And
really
I think about the medicine wheel, which is something I work. It's the north-south axis. They go together. The south is the body. The north is the spiritual body. Mm. They go together.
Yeah.
But it's not one without the other.
Yeah. So. Incredible. Words of wisdom before we end. I mean, there's been so much that you have said that have been like little aha moments for me. But if you can leave, I mean, I know you've studied so deeply and, you know, this is just like surface layer of the knowledge that you have. But if there's anything, if someone's out there, and I know a lot of people at the moment are in burnout or are recovering or trying to recover but don't know how. If there's something that you can offer, some advice or just some inspiration.
Yeah, there are tools out there.
Yeah.
You see, there are tools. And a lot of them are the new alternative tools that are not covered by insurance. Those are the ones that have worked for me.
Yeah.
And I remember learning about constellations and getting answers to questions that I never thought I would get an answer to. There are answers for why things have happened in our life. Mm. But we have to be patient also to trust that the answers come when we are able to get them.
Yeah.
And if we're in needing stabilization and we're just needing to learn how to cope and be in the body and be more present and be able to deal with the day-to-day ups and downs of life, look for a somatic therapist. Look for a trauma-informed therapist.
Yeah.
Get to yoga. Start including the body in your day-to-day life, including movement.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people out there, movement, medicine. Absolutely. Okay? It's life. It is life.
Yeah.
And let that be more stabilizing.
Yeah.
And it'll start bringing back joy, some joy and some vitality.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And from there, then explore the spirituality. We are in a new age. We are in a new time.
And I just read, it just brought to my mind, I even just read yesterday that even King Charles, Prince King Charles now, is not doing chemotherapy. He's doing herbs, and it was in quotation marks, potions.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, that just says it all then, doesn't it?
Look at that. But,
yeah. He knows.
And how many?
And he's big on plants. I think he has studied biology and he's very much into nature and plants and things like that. So,
well, we could do another podcast on that. I'm glad we have examples like that to show us.
Yeah.
Because I think many, many of us have examples of the limitations of Western medicine, the limitations of things. Use it for what you need, but don't let it be the only source. You know, I'm from the United States where prescriptions are handed out time and time again, and it's just masking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Maybe you need that to stabilize, but there are other solutions. But wellness is a skill. I heard this
that's
once.
Beautiful.
Wellness is a skill that we have to learn. It's not a destination.
Yeah.
If we think it's a destination,
I want that on a t-shirt.
If we think it's a destination, we have set ourselves up for disappointment.
Yeah.
It's a skill to constantly hone and to see what tools work for me when. And it comes with this belief and also maybe having to reach a pretty dark place to say, okay, the only way out is up.
Mm-hmm. To the light.
And to find someone who can help me pull me up. But it comes down to, do I believe I can heal?
Yeah.
Am I ready for this?
Yeah. Big questions. We have covered so much in this podcast that I'm just really thrilled. And you mentioned that Netflix movie. I just want to mention it again that you said.
Yes, there's constellation work. You know, it's been around for more than 40 years, but it's becoming more and more known. And there's a Netflix series called Another Self. It's a Turkish series.
Okay.
But it's been so popular, they're making two more seasons.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
all about constellations. They
really?
Don't call it constellations. They call it, I think, origin circles.
Okay.
But it is about that. Like my website, Get to the Origin. It's about finding the origin of your issues.
Okay.
Not just the Band-Aid, not just the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're going to treat the surface, it's going to be temporary relief, and it's going to come back and back and back.
Okay, thank you so much, Megan. Thank you for coming in today and for sharing your knowledge. I really, really appreciate this.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Tanya. Thank you so much.
Thank you.